morning, if you would please, to the book of Luke, chapter number 15. I've been preaching in this pulpit for 20 years this year, and I hope that when I make the statement that I'm about to make, that it carries a little weight with you. If I've ever, and I have, and I've made this statement before, but I want to use it again. If I've ever been directed of God to preach a message, the Lord has burdened my heart to preach this morning. I'm telling you, if this is the last message I ever preach, I know God wants me to preach it. Whether I get done with it this morning or not, I don't know. I'm not really interested in that. If we come back tonight on it or whatever, I'm interested in just following the Lord, try to through the message, what He wants me to say and what He wants me to deal with. And I do know this, that when God sends a message, I mean, there's times you preach, and if it's out of the Bible, it's still good. But there's some specific, special times, Brother Kruchko, that God just really, I mean, really sends a message. You know what I'm saying? It's not that it's good and great and will win awards, but it's a message from God. Yeah. And I know this, Brother Chuck, God would not do that if there wasn't a recipient. Somebody here better have your ears on. In fact, all of us better have our ears on as we preach out of Luke chapter number 15. I've not preached on this in years. Far as the prodigal son story, I have not preached on that I can't even remember the last time. It's been many years ago, but the Lord began to work in my heart and just a few days ago, began to speak to my heart and work this in my heart to preach this morning. I want to read in Luke chapter 15 in verse number 11. And he said, a certain man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. I don't know if you've noticed that. In fact, I don't know that I've ever noticed it till I just read it. And I've read this passage of Scripture numerous times. He gave the portion of goods that falleth to me, and he divided unto them his living. Unto them. Verse 13, and not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey. I underscored that. That got big to me when he asked at verse 12, give me. And then in verse 13, he takes his journey. His journey into a far country. And there, you ought to underscore the word there. In a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there rose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country. And he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat. And no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. Notice the punctuation right after that statement. Do you see that exclamation mark? So he's not just mumbling this. He's not just saying these words. He's saying these words with great emotion and with great intensity. He said, I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. In case you want to make a note right there, in fact, I drew a line this morning from the make me of verse 19 over to the give me of verse 12. Big difference. A lot of change has taken place from the give me selfish, I want what I want, get out of my way, or I'll step on you, run over you, I want to get my way. Now, all of that's done away with. Now he's saying, make me. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father, but when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, Bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. Let's pray. Father, I pray this morning that you will help me with the sincerity of my heart, the sincerity of the message this morning. I pray that you'll give me that special unction, God, that makes preaching effective and powerful and challenging and convicting. Lord, I pray that you'd give us utterance of the Spirit this morning. Help me to say not just a bunch of words, but to say, Lord, only the specific words that you would order. We pray that you will so captivate my attention, Lord, that I would be solely focused this morning upon what you are leading me to say and do and deal with this morning. May there be no fair show of the flesh. Preach me this morning in power, not for reputation and not for glory of myself. No, not that people would go away and say, oh, what a preacher or what a message. No, Lord, but they would go away and say, God, how we heard from God today, and that God did a work in our hearts. Lord, I pray for every young person, every visitor. Lord, I pray for every adult in the house today that you will stir us, that you will caution our hearts, that you will warn us, that you will help us today as we look at this precious word of God, this story, this passage. And Lord, do for us what needs to be done. And Lord, we'll give you thanks for it and praise. Help me, Lord, please. I've stood, Lord, thousands of times and preached, Lord, over 31 years. Lord, I need a special touch this morning. Oh, God, it's not experience that I'm depending on today. Oh, I need that special anointing that, Lord, it'll make preaching powerful. Lead us, our God. Guide us and direct us and help us to be on high alert, because you're going to speak to us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You can be seated. I want to deal with this younger son in these verses that we've read, that had it good, had it made, had it well when he was at the father's house. And for whatever reason, he started getting an interest. He started getting a desire to leave the father's house and go to a far country. Before he left, he probably thought this is going to be a great decision. Before he left home, before he went to the far country, before the consequences came home to him for his choices, he probably thought, I am going to have the time of my life. But if you were to interview him at the end of the story, it'd be quite the contrary. He would let you know quickly that it was the worst mistake that he has ever made. And that if he had it to do over again, he would have never made the choice to go to the far country. I thought of several different titles we could use, but I'm not so interested this morning in the title as such. But I thought about preaching on when fun turns to famine, when the blast turns to the bottom, when your trip turns tragic. Amen. Amen. When your hopes turn to horrors. Amen. But I just want to preach on that prodigal.
I want to preach on that prodigal and the far country. I just jot these few things down, and I don't know where all we're going. We're just going to try to mind the Lord. But the Lord wanted me to tell you this morning, to tell my heart as well, that the far country is a potential for every one of us. There's not a person in here that is saved. Whether you've been saved a few minutes, a few days, few months, few years, or a long time, you are not exempt from the potential of going to the far country. Leaving the will of God, leaving the house of God, leaving the purpose of God and the plan of God, and going after the flesh and living for the flesh. I tell you, I've been saved 31 and a half years this year, but I want you to know, dear friend, I still, as Preacher Rackley, possess the potential of being a wreck and a disaster, my friend, within 24 hours. And you do as well. The Lord wants us all to know that. Yes, we're in church this morning, Brother Fultz. I'm going to tell you, none of us will be in church tonight unless we make good choices. None of us will be in church next week if we don't make some good choices. Amen. I'm not serving God with handcuffs. I don't have shackles around my ankle. I still have a will, and I can make choices, my friend, how to go to the far country. So the Lord wanted us to first off start out with that truth, that the far country is a potential. And all of us know people. All of us know people that once served God, once was in church, once had a testimony, but today their testimony is shot, their life is gone, their reputation is ruined, and nobody has any confidence in them. Why? Because in a moment of weakness, under the influence of a friend, so to speak, or whatever, guess what? They made a choice that they've lived and will yet live to regret. So I want you to know that the far country is a potential. And by the way, let me just deal with this real quickly. I believe, now listen, I'm not stepping out on a limb. I'm telling you what I believe the Lord's impressed my heart. There's people that go to church here that if you don't get serious about God, you will not be in church in a year.
That's right.
Are you listening? You're in church, your life is not ruined yet, but you're showing signs of it, and the pastor sees it. You're headed in the wrong direction. Amen. I told my wife this past week, and I mentioned a young person, and I'll just leave it in a general term, of a young person in this church. I said, if they keep going the way they're going, their life will be in a wreck before they're 18 years old.
Yes. Come on, preacher.
Are you listening? Go ahead. You have the right to not listen to your parents. You have the right to not listen to your grandparents, your preacher. You have the right to do that.
Yes.
I'm not, amen. I don't pastor you with a gun. Amen. I don't wear a badge. You have the right. But I want you to know here today that when you've explored and experienced the far country,
amen,
you will become a testimony.
Yes.
Not that you will have a testimony, you will become a testimony.
Yes.
I had a young boy that sat, first name is Ricky, sat in my Sunday school class just downstairs years ago. And listen to me teach. Sunday after Sunday to those young people. And I have a letter at my house that he wrote me, handwritten, several pages that Ricky wrote me from inside of a prison cell. And the boy, what he said down out of all those pages, he said, I wished I'd have listened to the preacher. So go ahead. I'm here today to tell you what God said, that the far country is a potential for us all. And you will not accidentally wind up there. If you go to the far country, it will be intentional. Number two, quickly. These are just some introductory thoughts. The far country is not only potential, but the far country is personal. What I do or don't do doesn't affect you. What you do or don't do doesn't affect me. Amen. You don't go to a far country because I choose, nor do I go to a far country because you choose. You might can blame your mamas and daddies and husband and wife and children and friends and neighbors and whoever else as to why you're in the far country or headed to the far country. But it won't hold up, friend.
Right.
It's you.
Right.
It's your choices. You are accountable. You're responsible for where you're headed and the life you're living. Number three, could I mention quickly that the far country is not only a potential, but the far country is personal. But also the far country is patterning. In other words, you can look at this man right here, this young man in our text, and see the pattern set aside in the steps that he took. My friend, to wind up where he went. Amen. And I promise you, it's a pattern. It's a pattern. And if you follow that pattern, you'll find out that you'll go in the same places that he went and wind up the same way that he went. And we're going to look at that one a little bit more in detail later on, the patterning aspect of the far country. And then the far country is probable. In other words, if you're not living for God, you can about count on it. Your flesh is going to take you further than you ever thought you would go, keep you longer than you ever wanted to stay, and cost you more than you ever wanted to pay. Amen. You say, preacher, I can handle it. I can handle it, preacher. I'm just going to go so far. Preacher, I'm just going to do so much. I'm not going as far as you think I'm going. Listen, you'll be the first one that's handled it. Why do you think Paul said in the book of Romans, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal bodies. Let not sin have dominion over you. What does that say? Why did Paul in Romans 6 and 7 talk about being servants to sin?
Amen.
It's because sin will be your master. You won't do what you want to do. You're going to do what sin tells you to do. But it's probable. And Lord, give me this little statement. That if it's apparent already, obvious, visible, if it's apparent, it won't be long till it will be actual. If it's apparent, visible, noticeable, if it's apparent, it won't be long till it will be actual.
Amen.
Oh, listen, you don't have to go down the tubes. You don't have to throw your life to the wind. You don't have to do that. And I'm telling you, just as sure as I'm breathing God's precious air, just as sure as I'm standing before you this morning, I have a message from God, ordered of God, birthed in my heart to give this morning. And somebody better listen. It's probable. And then let me give you this. And I'm going to move on to something else. It's painful. The far country is painful. Don't think that you'll get away from God and go in the wrong direction and make choices that gratify the flesh without consequences. Oh, I'm telling you, the scars and the misery and the that goes with it. That goes with it. I've never met one. Brother, you gave the illustration of that young man that started drinking when he was 14, and he is now 40 years old, full-blown alcoholic, got the shakes. He even wants off of the alcohol. Amen. But listen, and Brother Silas asked him, if you had it to do over again when you were 14, would you have ever drunk a drop? And he said, no.
Right.
You know what he's living with? Regret.
Right.
You know what he's living with? Scars and misery. Amen. That goes with making wrong choices.
Right.
Amen. Amen. You know what the Bible says in Galatians 6? That if you sow to the flesh, you know what the Bible said you're going to reap? Listen, I want you to listen to this preacher. If I never preach again, I want you to listen to me. The Bible says that if you sow to the flesh, let the flesh have its way. Do whatever the flesh wants to do. Go wherever the flesh wants to go. Amen. Just gratify the flesh. Don't live for God. Just do what the flesh wants. You know what the Bible says? If you sow to the flesh, you will of the flesh reap corruption. And you can just imagine all that that word corruption would include. Amen. It is painful. It'll strip you. It'll scar you. It'll starve you. It'll make a servant out of you. A slave, if you will. I've never seen, listen to me now, we're all human beings and we live in the same world. But I don't know, listen, I don't know of one person that at the end of their end of the story of their life, could it be wrote, sin was good to me. There's not been a one. Now, I'm not, listen, the reason I said the end of their life is because for a time it may appear that they're prospering. It may appear that sin is good to them. It may appear that sin is promoting them into the limelights of popularity. Amen. But oh, let's go to the end of their life. The Bible said there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. You better consider, young lady, the end of your choice. You better consider, young man, what is going to be the outcome of your choices. Amen. But the devil don't want you to think that. A young man wrote on his Facebook the other day about living with no regrets, but they're just not here yet. Now that is a fool. Living with no regrets, living loose now with no regrets, but they're on the way. Knowing they're coming and still making those stupid choices. Amen. Now listen, it is painful. Sin will wear you out. Sin will wear you out, wear you down, throw your family in the trash can. Amen. Righteousness exalteth the nation, the Bible says. Righteousness, living for God, will exalt a nation. It will have a positive effect on an entire nation. What would righteousness do for a home? What would righteousness do for a family? A marriage? A young person? Amen? Living for God. Now listen, I want to share, and I'm not going to mention names here, but these are some excerpts of a text conversation I had this week. I'm at the far country. Preacher, it's been a while since we've spoken, but I need you to do my family a favor. I don't deserve anything but the fire of hell, but beg for my family's sake that if you can, and I know you can, please pull on God's ear and mention my family. I am as low as I can go. And the devil has taken up residence in my home, my heart, and my life. I cannot get rid of him. Please, just speak to God for my family. For I am reaping what I have sown in sin. I said, I will do that. I've known that if y'all continue on the existing course, that sin and Satan would destroy your home. If I can help, I will. God is the only hope. Start with heartfelt repentance from sin and return to what you know is right and what you need to be doing spiritually. I know a lot of damage is done, but God is greater, I told him. He responds, said, I know, but I haven't spoke to God in almost a year. Wonder why the home's in a wreck. Wonder why they're going down the tubes. You can't throw God, my friend, in the trunk of your life, throw him on the back porch of your home, my friend, and not give him the time of day and expect it to go well with you. If you belong to him, he will deal with you. If you belong to him, he will jerk your chains. Listen. He responds, I know, but I haven't spoken to God in almost a year. He is greater than this. Of course, texting, they hit a word or two. Greater than this, I just cannot get the devil out of my life, my family, or my life. He mentions his family and says, my family or my life. And without them, I truly have nothing. I'm at the bottom and digging a hole with both hands to look at Satan himself in the face. Preacher, I am broken. I responded, broken is probably where you needed to get. The Lord is nigh to them that are of a broken heart and it saveth such as of a contrite spirit. He responds, I am so ashamed to be where I am. Well, wait a minute. Reckon that would have been the pre-statement to all of this? Reckon that would have been something he'd have said a lot before all of this happened? No. It'd been just like the prodigal. Well, we're going to have a time making these choices, gratifying the flesh, suiting the flesh, pleasing the flesh. But now he says, he makes the statement, I am so ashamed to be where I am. Said, I haven't been walking next to him and so far apart from him, I am afraid to even call his name, for he won't hear me for my strange voice. He doesn't know anymore. Now I just pulled out bits and pieces of that conversation. And I get texts like that pretty regular from different places and different people. And all of them has a common denominator. All of them. You can put different names. You can put different locations on that same text. And it's a reality. You know what it is? Sin. Ignore God. Don't listen to God. Don't let him be the Lord of your life. Don't let him be the one that is deserving of control of your life. Amen. After all, if you're saved, you belong to him. And he's deserving of your service. And I thought about that. I could name others that have sat on these pews that I've been in conversation with. And if the Lord doesn't intervene, their home is going to go down the tubes. Sit here and listen to me preach for a long time, testify in the service, but right now is right on the brink of just total disaster. I don't understand that. I know it's a potential, but I'm amazed how quickly people can turn away from what they know is right. It's amazing. I don't understand that. I didn't get in to get out. I didn't get on to get off. When I got saved at the age of 20, I got in for the long haul. I'm going to serve God or else. Amen? Amen. Let me just deal with this real quickly. Say, preacher, what was it that... No, let me deal with something else. I'll get back to that and I'll deal with that in a minute if the Lord leads. I'm going to skip over that. There's two main focuses that I feel that God burdened my heart about this message for. One is a caution. God is wanting us all to hear a God-sent caution today about the far country. Amen? We've already alluded to that in the word potential. It's all of us. It is within all of our potential of the flesh to be in the far country. And even though that I'm preaching what I'm trying to preach from the deepest sincerity of my heart, there are folk in this building, wouldn't bother you a bit, that if I quit preaching right now and dismiss.
Right. Preach. Right on, brother.
Amen.
Right.
I mean, that's right. Here I am giving you not what I think, what I... Listen, I didn't get it out of a book. God said to tell the church this morning, and I'm telling you, you better listen. God said the first purpose for which I want you to preach this message is caution. God is sending out a warning this morning, warning you and I about the far country afresh and anew. What got the young man in the far country? What got him there? We're going to look at that in a little bit. Early in life, if you were to come to this young man and mention to him as a younger man, in just a short period of time, you're going to be in a far country. Your life's going to be a wreck. You're going to be a disaster. You're going to be desiring even the husk that the swine did eat. You're going to be in the hog pen of sin, barefooted and broke, with a wasted life. No, he would have said, no, not me, preacher, not me, I've got it together. Oh, friend, it's no guarantee for you. No guarantee for it. Doesn't matter who your daddy is, doesn't matter who your family is, doesn't matter what church you go to, doesn't matter who your preacher is. Listen, if you make some choices, you're going to follow that. Your course is dictated by your choice. God said, send a caution. God said, give a caution. Amen. In his childhood, he probably knew people as a very young boy who had testimony of going there. He probably heard about it. You know, he wasn't born with the knowledge of that far country. He didn't even know it existed when he was born physically. He didn't know anything about the far country and the riotous living, and he didn't know anything about none of that. He didn't know anything about that. He had to be exposed to somebody. He had to be exposed to something that let him in on it. And oh, may God help us as parents to beware and to be on high alert what we allow our children to be exposed to. Who we let our children run around with, because I'm telling you what the devil's big plan is. His plan is to put an associate and a friend in your children's life that will expose them and influence them and instruct them as to what's in the far
country.
Amen.
Amen.
Families trying to raise their children in church and try to train them up and raise them for God, and then some sorry hoodlum heathen, my friend, starts texting them or calling them and telling them about their partying life, and tell them about the movies, and tell them about the dance hall, and tell them all about that. Oh, you better be leery who you let your children run around with, because they may be placed in your child's life as an instructor and as a teacher as to what's in the far country. And once your child ever hears it, they will never forget it. And once they ever taste it, they'll never forget it. Once they ever see it, they'll never forget it. Amen. Somebody said to us years ago, you trying to shelter your children. I said, oh, you got that right. That's the smart thing, Brother Jackie, that any parent would do if a storm's coming, is a shelter them. Amen. Brother Cedric, you were telling me yesterday, little Titus, where you at, Titus? He's over there taking notes. Amen. He said there's only, and they're on the road all the time, and church after church after church. And I believe he said yesterday there was only maybe one or two that he would be willing to let his boy associate with. It's not that we're holier than thou. It's not that we're better than they are. And we're not talking about being stiff-necked and stick your nose in the air like we're some righteous somebody. We're not talking about that. We're talking about guarding our children against wicked influence.
Amen.
Amen. My sister, years ago, my sister, before her children started into school, this has been several years ago, she was contemplating of putting them in a particular school, public school. And I said, she said, but they're good teachers. They're church-going teachers, good, singing the Christian teachers. I said, look, I said, Kelly, I said, the teachers never were the ones that taught me to cuss and drink and all that junk. Amen? It wasn't the teachers. It was them rugrats I sat in the school class with. Amen. That their parents didn't care about and bought them every ungodly movie and CD and DVD and everything in the book for them to do. Amen? And then they exposed me to it.
Amen.
Are you listening?
Yes, sir.
God said, send out a caution. The far country has never produced a good testimony yet. Everybody better listen to that. The far country has never produced a good testimony yet. If you don't hear nothing, hear that, please. I don't know who influenced him to go. I don't know who was the culprit. I don't know, but it was definitely somebody, because he wasn't born with the knowledge of the far country. He followed it with his choices, what he had been told and talked to. Who was it? Who was it that went? Was it a relative? Was it a family member? Was it a friend? Was it somebody down the street? I don't know who it was, but I know for a fact this young man got knowledge of a far country before he ever went.
Yep.
Or listen. So that's the first reason God wants me to preach this morning. Is for the caution. And I do hope, Brother Fultz, somebody hears the warning. I hope somebody listens up and says, you know what? God's sending a word through His servant to try to warn me from the choices that I'm making, the interests that I have, the influences that I'm running with. Oh, show me your friends. I'll show you your future. Amen. You run with dogs, you're going to get fleas on you. Amen. You can't flirt around with wickedness and retain righteousness. You can't. Well, I'll win them. I'll pull them up to my level. There may be a few exceptions to that, but the general rule is they will pull you down. Brother Krutschkopf, I was standing upon this communion table, and I had Jared standing down on the floor. Though I'm bigger than he is, which would be easier, for me to pull him up to my level or for him to pull me down to his level? Oh, I can handle it. Some of you, listen carefully. You are not handling it. Amen. I'm not trying to be a lord over God's heritage. I'm not trying to be an overseer. I'm trying to be one that's standing on the wall, sending out the alarm that the enemy is already at work in your life.
Amen.
And don't be the one that would write me a letter in a few weeks, months, or years like Ricky did and say, "Preacher, I wished I'd have listened. I wished I'd have listened." The second reason God wants me to preach this message, not only for a caution, but for a cure. And that cure is twofold. The cure, first of all, is a prevention. We've all heard the old saying, an ounce of prevention is better than a pound of cure. The message this morning is sending out, is going forward to cure the situation. Amen. How? By preventing you from going to the far country. Preventing you from making those choices. Amen. You've heard testimonies. Our church is full of testimonies. Preacher, I did this. I've been there. I've done this. I've seen this. And you know, we've all heard those testimonies. Young person, let a word to the wise be sufficient. Don't think, well, that was just them, and that was their deal, and you know, it just happened to them. But I'm me, and I'm tough, and I can handle it. No, you can't handle it. And I can get real plain right here. I mean real plain. I mean more plain than you probably can handle right here about things I know that are sitting right here in this building. You can't handle it. It's already evident in your life that you're being handled. Amen. Well, amen. You can say, "Preacher, are you just preaching?" No, you better understand more than that, because I'm telling you, hello, church, you are going to meet this message again at the judgment. You can count on what you've done with it. I will give an account for preaching it. You'll give an account for hearing it. The cure. The first cure is, and it's the greatest cure, and that is, deal with the far country while it's in your mind. Deal with the far country while it's in your head. You know, it was in his head and his heart before it ever got in his habits. and before it ever become his habitat.
Right.
Deal with the far country before you actually go there. Right now it's only aspiration. Right now it's only thoughts. Right now it's only desires. Deal with it then. Take the message as a warning from God and as a cure.
Amen.
Amen. The greatest cure is prevention. You don't have to go to the far country. People can hear of the destructivity of the far country and will still make choices to go there. You know why? They're living after the flesh. They're living after what feels good. It don't matter about what next week holds, preacher. All I know is that Friday night, we're going to do this and we're going to have a time. But what about when that Friday night seed sowing adventure starts coming up out of the ground and you're starting to reap the fruit of that?
Yeah.
Reaping the... Amen.
Right.
Amen. Listen, I've told kids before that you can live out your... Listen, I'm talking about prevention. The greatest cure is a prevention.
Yeah.
Not going there. It's easier to stay out of the ditch than it is to get out of the ditch once you're in. Isn't that right? And that's what the purpose of this point is, try to get you to realize, amen, that, hey, I don't need to go there. I need to straighten up. God send me a message. I need to make some wise choices. I've told kids before that you can live out your whole life and never get a whipping. They look at me like, preacher, are you kidding? Whippings are as normal as eating. I've told kids. I said, look, you don't know. I've told Blake. He didn't listen, but I told him anyway. You can live your whole life and never get a whipping. Never get a whipping. Never get a whipping. All you have to do is be respectful and obedient. You know, do what you're supposed to do, and you'll never get a beating.
Right.
Amen. I'm sure Daddy probably told me that, and I didn't listen. Daddy didn't give whippings. He gave whoopings. And there's a big difference. If you need to explain, you've never had a whooping.
Yeah.
Right. Amen. But you know what? That same kid... we'll do it anyhow. And I'll tell you how depraved your nature is. You can give a kid a whipping over something that he's done wrong, and you think that would be enough. You think that would be the breaking point, and they will do it again.
Yes, sir.
The same thing.
That's right. That's true.
Amen. I mean, give them a good lessons. Amen. Give them some limb lessons. Amen. My daddy told me to go out there and get a limb. Go out there and get a switch. That seems bad, Brother Rod, but when you have to go get your own switch. And he said, if you come back and it's not the right size, we're going to add licks. So you had to pick your switch carefully. And prayerfully. Amen. And kind of hope Jesus come back before you got back in the house. Amen. Help us, Jesus. Amen. But they'll do it anyhow. And how many people, listen to this and other illustration, how many people go to jail or prison and will get out and do the same thing and go right back to jail and right back to prison? We all know people that's done that. In fact, that's probably why all the jails and prisons are so full. It's people that's went through there time and time and time again. Why? They won't listen. Did you know what? I can't help you if you won't listen. Did you know I wonder if God can even help you if you won't listen?
Right.
So the caution or the cure for which we're preaching this today, number one, is that we're hoping to bring about a prevention. We're hoping some young people will get in the altar today and say, God, by the grace of God, I'm staying away from every sign that points to the far country. Every decision that goes to the far country, every direction that goes to the far country, I'm staying away from. By the way, let me just tell you, if you hadn't heard in a while, your spirituality is your responsibility.
Amen.
And not only that, your morality is your responsibility.
Amen.
How you live, how you turn out, amen, what you're going to become is your responsibility.
Amen.
And you better not let romance, you better not let riches, you better not let relationships, nothing interfere with that.
Yeah,
I was preaching revival, and I've never gave this illustration. I was preaching revival back a few weeks ago down in Liberty, South Carolina, Roanoke Baptist Church. And we was eating after the service, and the granddaughter of Brother Shook, she told me this, and Brother Shook was there, and we was all sitting around the table. They all knew it. And she had dated for 4 years, or courted, or whatever you want to call it, a young man. Now, I'm not going to go any further with that as to who he was and what church he went to and all that stuff. But he supposedly was a top-notch young man. And it looked as though this relationship was going to go probably even to the marriage altar. 4 years. They've been going together 4 years. And one day, he was always one that would open the door for her. Listen, young people. I hope God uses this illustration to instill something in you. I'm talking about they've been going together 4 years. Do you think they probably loved each other? You think they probably saw a future together? No doubt. He'd open the door for her to let her in to the car as he does all the time, she said. She said, but this particular time, when he would help her in, he would always put his hand on her back just to help her in the door. He said, listen, I'm not trying to be off-colored here.
Listen, Lord.
He let his hand go south. And after being with him, or dating him for 4 years, and loved him greatly, and was looking at marriage, when his hand went south to a place on her that he was not supposed to be or touch, she wheeled around and said, don't you ever touch me there again. I will not disgrace my granddaddy, who is her pastor. I will not disgrace my mama and daddy. You will never touch me there again. I wonder how many young ladies would do that. After 4 years, romantically attached to the boy, but her romance wasn't near as strong as her convictions.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Thank God. I praised her right in front of her grandpa, right in front of her mama, right in front of her daddy. I said, pray, and her brother. I said, praise God. Praise God. You had some convictions about you. I said, most girls wouldn't have said nothing. Even if they'd have felt a little uncomfortable about it, they wouldn't have said nothing. And then it would have happened again and again and worse and worse. And the end of story would have been a tragedy. Amen. Young people, listen. Make sure your convictions are stronger than anything that would compete with it. Amen. Now, I know, listen, come on now. I've been preaching here a long time, and I know you. Some of you I've seen born. I've seen you born physically. But we got some young people in here that is boy crazy, girls boy crazy, and boys girl crazy. I think that's a good term. Crazy, girl crazy, boy crazy. Amen. So a boy comes in here with hair on his head and shoes on his feet, he's qualified. Amen. We'll find out if he's saved later. Let's say, oh, man. Hey, I'm going to tell you what that'll do if you're not careful. You've been boy crazy. It'll cause you to throw your relationship with God out the window. Amen. Set your standards high. Set them so high that if a boy ever even thinks about challenging those standards, you always take the high road and tell them to take a walk. Amen. One girl was praying about, I don't know why I got on that, but there's one girl praying about this individual, this boy, if it was the will of God for her or not. Been praying, they've been courting or whatever you want to call it for a long time, and she's still praying, you know, about whether or not his will of God or not. And in church, he put his hand on her leg. She reached and got his hand, moved it off of her leg and told him, God just showed me, you're not the one. If you're willing to disrespect my body and disrespect my conviction, disrespect my fellowship with God, you are not a candidate. Don't even call me. Don't text me. You are not on the list, big boy.
Amen.
Hallelujah, preacher Rex. That's good preacher.
Preach.
I'll say amen to my own preacher. That's right. You can probably go to 500 churches around here and not hear none of that. Amen. You say, preach, that's a little too plain. Oh, yeah. You hear worse than that and see worse than that on the Nickelodeon channel. Amen. You hear worse than that and see worse than that on the Disney channel. Amen. Some of you wouldn't even know how to dance if you hadn't learned it off of Disney Channel. Hello. That's right. I'm not going to get on that. That'd run a good message. But I'm going to tell you, the cure is a prevention. Don't never go there. You don't have to go there. If you listen,
hey, if you've got the far country in your head and you've got the far country in your heart, see, this young man was already in the far country before he ever left the house. He had it in his head, he had it in his heart, and soon it became his habits, and then it became his habitat. Amen. Deal with it while it's in your head. If you recognize, hey, I've got desires for the far country. I've got desires for that wicked life. I've got desires for loose living. Hey, you need to deal with that. One, that is certainly not an indication you're saved, for sure. But you need to deal with that. Don't let it go too far. Amen? You leave it alone, it's going to develop, it's going to grow, it's going to get roots in your life, and then try to deal with it. Best thing to do is deal with it when it's a thought. Deal with it. Amen. Because the Bible says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Deal with the far country when you're having far country thoughts. When you're having far country desires. Amen. Deal with it then. Don't go so far and say, well, I'm going to experiment a little bit. I'm going to try this. I'm going to see what this looks like. I'm going to see what this tastes like. I'm going to see what this feels like. And next thing you know, you're hooked. Amen. They tell me that the methamphetamines or whatever it is, they said one hit and you're hooked. One time you're hooked.
Yeah.
Are you listening? Sin, you can't handle it. Have I said that already today? Sin, when it is finished. James says that, those words in the Word of God. Sin, when it is finished. See, sin right now may not be finished. Right now it may look good, may feel good. Everything's going your way. But what about when sin is finished? What are you going to do when sin is finished?
Yep.
The Bible says it bringeth forth death. Amen. Hello. So there is the cure. Let me give you this last one. I'm just going to cut it off and we'll come back and deal with it if the Lord leads tonight. And I believe he will. And if you're interested, you'll be back.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. The other aspect of that cure is not only the prevention, but the cure of a pardon. That is, maybe you're here today and you've already went beyond the boundaries. You've already went beyond. And you've been walking the far country. You've been experimenting the far country. You've done had exposure to the far country. You've done sowed seed in the far country. Done got a taste of the far country. I've got good news for you. There's a cure. There's a pardon. Thank God.
Amen.
Failures are not final.
Amen.
Well, how many times you've done something you knew you weren't supposed to do and the devil told you, well, you've blown it. You have blown it. It's over. You might as well just throw the sails up on your ship of life and just let the winds blow you wherever and to whatever that it wants to. Hey, failures are not final. You've done wrong. You've been to the far country. You can be forgiven. You can be restored. God can take you. Listen, that's right here in this passage. And we're going to deal with that tonight when we get to the point of dealing with his restoration. He was restored. That didn't bring back. Listen, I'll just bump this just a second here. It did not bring back what he lost. He went out with his portion. He went out with his inheritance, went to the far country, and the Bible said, and there rose a famine in the land. There, he wasted his living with, he wasted his substance with riotous living, loose living, sinful living. And he wasted it, blowed it, a famine arose, he had nothing. He didn't, listen, he came back, he got right with the Father kissed him, the Father forgave him, the Father brought the best robe and put on him, and shoes on his feet, and a ring on his finger, and the fatted calf, I mean, all of that, but his substance was still gone. He still had to live with that. He was glad to be back home. He was glad to be forgiven. He was glad to be pardoned. He was glad to be back at the Father's house and not in the far country, but he still had to live with the fact, I blowed my inheritance.
There will be a high cost to low living.
Right.
You live after the flesh, you will lose things that you'll never get back. You will lose things you will never get back. Would you want them back? Oh, my goodness. Did you not hear that text that I wrote earlier? In fact, I don't even know if I even put it in there, but there was one section of that text, and I've got it on my phone, where I told him, I said, getting right with God may take time. It's not just one trip to the altar. It may take time and determination and great effort to get right with God. And the report came back, the response came back, preacher, time is all I have because I have lost everything else. Hello? Would you want that to be said of you? Would you want to be telling the preacher, time's all I got now. I've lost everything. Would that be, listen, God help. And these illustrations, mostly all of these illustrations that I have given to you, you know them. Are you listening? Somebody better listen, because I'm telling you, and I sent a text to one of them this week. I said, God said he is going to make a testimony out of you if you don't get right. You said, preacher, you're mean. No, when God tells me something, I know to tell it. Whether they do anything with it or not. I sent a text to them this morning. I said, God wants you at RBT this morning. Your whole family, God wants you here. And there ain't a one of them here. Are you listening to preacher? If my family was a wreck, surely I would want to go to church. I mean, I would want to go to the house of God. If there's going to be some help for me, I'd want to go. I would want to go to a preacher that's going to tell me the truth.
Amen.
I know I preached some things this morning some of you maybe don't like, but it's a truth.
Amen.
Amen. I'd rather have a preacher too straight as one too loose. I'd rather have a preacher nailing it too tight, if that is possible, as to be have a liberal. Amen. Amen. I think all liberals are disqualified to preach. I think every one of them needs to step out of the pulpit and go get a job. Amen. That's right. I don't have a verse for that. That's just Rackley chapter 3. Amen. That's right. But there's a cure for you.
Amen.
If you've been out there, God will forgive you.
Right.
Amen. I can't tell you that all that you've lost, you'll get back. I can't tell you that. There'll be some things you'll get back. You can get your peace back. You can get your joy back. You can get a lot back. But sin will leave some scars in your life.
Right.
Yeah. Sin will leave some scars in your life. A person get out of the will of God, go out here, while he's out of the will of God, have a car wreck, for some reason or another, loses a limb. Hey, he can get right with God, but it won't bring the limb back.
That's right.
Won't bring the limb back. Amen. Are you listening? I hope you listen to the preacher. I just barely kind of touched on some introductory thoughts about this prodigal. But I hope you'll come back tonight, because I'm planning on dealing with what got him into the far country. What was the steps? Because I mentioned earlier that it was a pattern. There's a pattern there. And if you follow that pattern, and some of you are, if you follow that pattern, you are going to wind up where he wound up. And it wasn't good for him, and it won't be good for you. Amen? And listen, I'm here for you. If you've been in the hog pen of sin, amen, I'm here for you. You call me anytime. Listen, I met a fellow over here about 11 o'clock one night, stayed to 1:30, talking to him, trying to help him. I'll help you. I don't want nobody to ever say, Preacher Rackley, he's so hard. No, I love you.
Amen.
That's why I preach the truth to you.
Amen.
I don't want these young girls to wind up like many of us have.
Amen.
I don't want some of these young boys to be, Brother Ron, where we've been.
Yeah.
I want you to listen to us as we tell you, don't go there. Don't do that. It's a mistake. You'll regret it. I've regretted it. We've regretted it. You likewise will regret it. That's why I preach the way that I do. That's why I preach plain. That's why I preach hard. But I love you. I can't tell you how much I love you. I love all these young girls and young boys and listen, I love you. But I will never love your sin. Never. I will be a friend to you. You call me anytime. And I'll do whatever I can to help you. But I will never condone your sin. Never. Never. I'll never condone it. I'll never agree with it. I'll never be sympathetic toward it. I will help you get out of it. I will help you get over it. I will show you the Word of God on His forgiveness. I will show you what the Bible says about repentance. But I will never make it easy for you to live in sin. And I'll do my part. I will help. I will try to help you. But there will come a time, and I've had God to tell me this several times, Brother Kruchko, when I've tried to help, I've lent out a hand, I've made calls, I've sent texts, I've sent emails, I've paid visits, and they still keep going, they still keep going, they still keep going. God says, that's enough.
Yes, right.
Pull away, focus your attention on somebody that will listen.
Yep.
Right.
Amen? Amen? That text I got earlier said, preacher, I hadn't spoke with you in over a year. Or at about a year, said, I haven't spoke with you in about a year. I sent him, every once in a while, God just right out of the blue, I'll be praying, Brother Phillips, sir, whatever, and God said, send him a text, just tell me at level, you're praying for him. Amen. But I'm not going to be sympathetic toward what I know is ruining your life. Righteousness is not what's going to destroy you. God is not going to destroy you. Sin is going to destroy you.
Yes.
Some people say, well, preacher, I can't believe God would let this happen to this individual or this family. How do you know God did it? God gets blamed for everything. God gets the blame for a lot of things. Hey, do you realize that sin does a lot?
Yeah.
Amen?
That's
right. God doesn't put that man under a bridge. My friend living off of wine and liquor. God don't do that. Sin does that. God don't destroy a home. Sin does it. God don't bust up a marriage. Sin does it. Amen. Listen, God doesn't take a young girl and take her purity away from her and make a harlot out of her. Sin does that. God doesn't take a young boy and get him hooked on Miller Low Life and Bud Stupid and liquor and make a drunk out of him. Alcohol and sin does that. Amen. Serve God. Live for God.
Amen. Good for that.
Because listen, some of you girls and boys, y'all are going to have your own family here in a few years. I mean, you can start dating when you're 35 around here. No, I'm just kidding. I better say I'm just kidding. Somebody will go out there and put it on topics. Preacher Acker said, there ain't none of his girls in there at RBT dating when they're 35. Brother Craig said, that's the will of God. Amen, Brother Craig. Kaylee said, oh, I won't never get married. Be an old maid. I'm not saying none of those things. I'm just simply saying, you're going to have your own family. How old are you? 15, 17. 7 to 10 years. 10 years, these will be 25, 27. More than likely. Yeah. Maybe. Possibly, if there is such a creature on planet Earth. They may possibly have their family, be married, have their family. And have kids. Then it's going to be your responsibility as parents to instruct your kids. I want to help you. Listen, parents, I want to be a partner to you.
Yeah.
I told them a long time ago around here, I'm not trying to parent your children. I'm trying to pastor your children. And if I have the help of parents, amen, we together can hopefully raise up another generation that will want to serve God, live right, and do right, and make good choices in life.
Amen.
Amen. My soul. But you'll want to give them instructions. You'll want to tell them, don't do this and don't do that. But young people, I'm going to tell you, you've got a nature in you that's bent toward the far country. You don't have to have very little encouragement at all to go to the far country. Because your depraved, fallen, sinful nature wants it, loves it, hates restriction, conviction, hates hard preaching, hates it, wants to live loose. That's why when you tell a child no, and he'll sass you, back talk you, and I've even seen kids hit their parents when they told them no. And they're doing that as a child. What are they going to do when they're 16? What are they going to do when they're 18? Huh? Son, I could see me telling my mom and daddy no or back talk them. Amen. That didn't happen. That didn't happen. I did it one time. That was enough. I did it one time. Me and mom and daddy was in the same bedroom. We was back there having a discussion and I was the topic. And mama said something, and then I said something. The next thing I know, I was getting up off the floor. And I couldn't close my mouth all the way for 3 or 4 days. Because it just so happened, my mouth was open when I got the lick. And that's not good. I mean, I sassed mama, and daddy never even hardly even looked. He just went, bang, backhanded me right across the mouth, buddy. That cured me. I went into the yes ma'am business. The far country. I want to try my best to paint as ugly a picture as I can about it. I want to try to make it look as bad as I can. Because I don't want you to go there. Let's all stand our feet. Father, I pray in Jesus' name.